Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, where's my summer people? I'm not going to lie. I was leaving the house today, and I was like, nah. Me and Otis were like, we ain't going outside today. This is not happening. And Laura's like, you have to be there. And I go, not necessarily. Not necessarily. We have other people on staff who can preach. Does anybody not like cold weather? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Okay, I don't feel alone in this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we are today. If you are brand new to the scriptures, maybe you don't have a copy of the scriptures with you, we have free Bibles out in the lobby. We'd love for you to take one of those. You see people on their phones. They're not on social media, right? Amen? Yeah, they're not checking their notifications. Amen? They're opening up the Bible app. YouVersion. YouVersion is a great app that I would encourage you to download. You can take the Bible with you in your pocket everywhere that you go. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we're in a series that we're beginning today called The Generosity Secret. One of our core practices you just heard about a few minutes ago is generous giving. No one should outgive the church. How embarrassing is it if people in your workplace or your neighbors who don't follow Jesus outgive you? That should not be that way, because we are called by Jesus, who we follow, to be the most generous people on the planet. We should be outpacing the world when it comes to generosity. So Paul is the one who authored this letter, and he wrote it to this guy named Timothy. Timothy was kind of his protege, a young preacher, and he was a new pastor. And he wrote this letter to him, kind of just talking to him about how to be a pastor and things he should remember to teach the people. And so let's look at the end of the letter that he wrote. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and go to verse 6. Paul says this, "Yet true godliness and contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it." If that sounds familiar, that's a common phrase in our culture, isn't it? I mean, people say that all the time. Don't even realize they're quoting the word of God. How great is that? He said, so if you have enough food and clothing, let us be content. So I want to talk to you today about this generosity secret of discovering contentment. Before we begin, let's pray together. I want to ask you to be praying for those that are around you, whether you know them or you don't. Let's just pray for one another. We all bring stuff in here. I mean, the world is so hectic and just busy, and there's so much. Do you not have a lot going on? I have a lot going on, and my mind gets scattered so quickly. But we come in here. I just encourage you right now, just take in a deep breath. And as you let out that breath, just remind yourself that you are loved by the Father. Like, despite what's happened this week, despite what you think of yourself, what others have said about you, you today are loved by the Father. Take in another deep breath. As you let that breath out, remind yourself that you are saved by the Son. There's nothing you're going to do today to earn your salvation. Being here today is great, but it doesn't give you brownie points in heaven. Being good, being kind, hey, that's fantastic. Do that. We need to be those kind of people, but that's not what's going to save you. The only thing that's going to save our souls and give us a place in heaven that we sang about a few minutes ago is because of the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus covers all sin. Take in another deep breath. As you let that breath out, just remind yourself that you are guided by the Spirit. How great is that? If you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, I know you're confused. I know you don't know what's next. I know you don't know what to do, but trust me, I gotcha. I gotcha. Let's pray now that the Holy Spirit will come. He'll speak to us, speak to those that are around us. Come now, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, you can grab a seat. If you're cold, snuggle up next to somebody. It's an invite for all the men in the auditorium and all single guys right there. It's what the pastor told me to do. I see this seat is not occupied. It is now. All right. Let's go to the scriptures. Sorry. I just made every woman in here go, really? Really? Sorry, I forgot that there were ladies here today. I apologize after that, ladies. I mean, even you married ladies, I apologize for that, because some of you are like, he ain't going to snuggle up next to me right now, not after the way we started our day. Am I wrong? Yeah, oh, come on. All right, let's go to the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. This is what Paul says. If we have enough food and clothing, say this with me, let us be content. Let us be content. Turn to somebody and tell them, you've got enough stuff. You've got enough stuff. Some of y'all are unloading on people on that one. You're like, I've been waiting to tell her that for a long time. How many rifles does he need for deer season? One more, right? One more. My middle son, I call him Herc, and when he was little, when he was about 3 years old, in the kids ministry on Father's Day, they always make these really cool things for Father's Day. If you're a dad, don't you just love, I love Father's Day when your kid makes you something, those little fake ties or whatever it is. Well, they asked the kids that day, when he was like 3 years old, what do you love about your daddy? And this is what he said. I love my daddy because he gives me food. Look at that sweater, man. He's looking good. Advertisers and marketers have convinced us that food and clothing, as Paul points out here, or the basics of life are not enough. Think about this. In 1975, way back in the 1900s, the average person saw between 500 and 1,500 advertisements a day. That's crazy. Whether that is magazines or newspapers. Anybody remember newspapers? They have these things called newspapers. You get the ink on your fingers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, whether that's advertisements on the radio or television, billboards everywhere, 500 to 1,500. Fast forward 50 years, okay? It's been 50 years since then. I want you to get a number in your head. How many do you think today? Just keep that number in your head. Lock it down. What do you think? How many ads you are seeing every day? I said keep it in your head. You guys would be terrible on a game show. You'd be terrible. The average person sees between 4,000 and 10,000 advertisements a day. That's nuts. You might want to write this down. This may be your only takeaway today, and this is fine. The mission of marketing is simple: to breed discontentment. That's all it's about. To breed discontentment inside of you. Anybody remember when cable was like $100? Remember when you used to have that's all you had was cable. And you had all the channels, you had all the movies, and then this thing called Netflix came out. And all of a sudden you could watch an endless amount of movies with no commercials. Do you remember the cut the cord campaign? Man, we were duped, weren't we not? You're like, $10? I'm in. I'm cutting the cord. $10, $100, I'm in. Little did we know what they were doing to us. That they fast forward and now here we are. If you want to watch a certain TV show, you don't get it all on one, right? Oh, you love that show? Everybody talking about that show? You got to get Apple Plus for that show or Paramount TV, or you got to get Peacock. Oh, you want to watch Thursday Night Football? You got to have Amazon. Although nobody wanted to watch last Thursday night's game. Not a good one. I'm a Raiders fan if you're new, so not a good one. Now, we don't have just one streaming app. There are hundreds, but the most popular apps, like the ones I'm talking about, Paramount and and Amazon Prime and Apple and on and on and on, Peacock, all of these. If you have all these most popular ones right now, there's over 50 apps, 50 streaming apps now. So instead of spending $100, now we could be spending $500. Okay, so maybe that's not your deal. Let's talk about shopping apps, huh? Oh, now I got all the ladies' attention right now. I mean, all the shopping apps that are out there, from Amazon to eBay to Etsy to, what is it, Temu? Is that what it's called? Temu. I don't even have that app. I downloaded it one time and it said, spin the wheel. Anybody know that one? You got 4 free items. I was like, what is this? This is incredible. I'm like, I got a pair of earbuds for like a quarter. It's like, these are amazing. I popped them in. It sounded like a 1940s Victrola. I mean, on and on. And now, here's what Brad Pitt said famously in Fight Club. A lot of guy stuff today. Here's what he said. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes and working jobs we hate so we can buy stuff we don't need. All this consumption has not led to contentment and joy. In fact, the opposite of this has happened. The World Happiness Index, where they actually track the happiness in every country in the world, on the World Happiness Index, the highest the United States has ever gotten is 12th. We've never cracked the top 10. We're supposed to be the greatest place in the world to live, and we can't even crack the top 10. In fact, that was way back in 2012. Now in 2025, it's not gotten any better. We are now 25th in the world when it comes to happiness. Harvard recently did a study, and they found out that what most of us here in the church already know, that those who are generous report greater happiness. The more generous you are, the happier you will be. The less you have, then the more you give away, the happier you will be. Is that the message that we are receiving in those 10,000 advertisements? That's the opposite, right? The more that you have, the happier you will be. Once you get that, you will be happier, but that's actually not true. Happiness comes through generosity. But you're not going to be generous with what you have until you're content with what you have. So how do we discover contentment? I think contentment is one of the key secrets to generosity. But let's be honest, it's not easy. It's not easy to be content. It's not easy to be generous. So how do we learn contentment and generosity in a consumption-driven society? Let's look again at Paul's letter. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's go back to verse 6. Paul says this, true godliness and contentment is itself great wealth. What's Paul saying? He's saying the richest people aren't the ones who have the most. The richest people are the ones who've learned to be content with what they have. But the world doesn't preach contentment, it preaches comparison. Comparing ourselves to one another. So like it's what we scroll and we see what others have. And then I suddenly realize what I do not have. And then I feel less than, which then leads to poor choices and undue stress. Right? I mean, I get into the car payment that I can't afford. I end up with 50 streaming apps. I end up with a Lululemon studio membership. Because the tights weren't enough, right, ladies? Gotta have the top to go with it. But it just breeds this discontentment, and the world tells us that you need comparison for validation. That's really why we're comparing. Because I need validation. And isn't it funny that we chase validation from people we don't know, that we will probably never meet at times, and frankly, that we don't even like. Yet, we're seeking validation from those people. Paul wrote another letter. He wrote this to the church in Philippi. And in Philippians 4, verse 11, he said this about himself. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I've learned the secret. In other words, Paul's saying, I've learned the generosity secret. Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'd like for you to write this down. If you're new to our gathering, there's some sermon notes in your chair back. Choose contentment in Christ. Choose contentment in Christ instead of consumption in this world. Choose contentment in Christ instead of the consumption in this world. See, when your identity is in Christ, you no longer need comparison for validation, because your value and your worth are not measured on people or possessions. Turn to somebody and tell them, stop measuring your life by mine. Stop measuring your life. Come on. Come on. Show a little pride right now. Turn to somebody and say that. Come on. Don't measure your life by mine. I won't measure my life by yours. We don't even want to say that, do we? But isn't that what we do? Even in the church, we size each other up. We're measuring who we are and what we are. And your value and your worth are not measured by people and possessions. Your value and your worth are found in knowing that you are deeply loved and fully accepted in Christ. For some of you, that's your only takeaway today. And you need to drill down on that. The whole reason you're discontented is because you're chasing your value and your worth in people and possessions. Once I get that, everything's gonna be good. I'm not exempt from that. I mean, I see where other people live. I see the cars that they drive. I see the sweet shoes that they're wearing. And so your value and your worth, if I could have that, and what happens is I want that, so at least I'm equal with them. Or God help us that we're not thinking that maybe I could be above them, better than them. But when I don't, I feel less than. So value and your worth are not found in chasing people and possessions. Your value and your worth are found when you truly begin to understand that you are deeply loved and fully accepted by Christ. That's some of you, that's your greatest barrier right now in life. And it's the reason why you're so discontented. You don't even, some of you are here just to try to earn his love. You can't earn something you've already been given. He says, I love you just the way you are. Like you were created in his image. That's easy to believe for everybody else, isn't it? Like you read the first chapter of Genesis, that we were created in the image of God. Well, that's Adam and Eve, but everybody else after that, wow. You know, I mean, sometimes you're looking in the mirror or you're looking across the aisle and you're like, wow, that person? I don't know about that. Woo! Anybody ever looked in the mirror and just thought, wow, who would love that? God does. God does. I sense that's what some of you just absolutely need to know. You can take a deep breath. I know that people maybe have said things about you, done things to you, made you feel less than. I've been there. I know what that's like. Let me tell you this. I remember when I was in high school. I believe it or not, I don't look like it, but I weigh about 205, and I'm 6'4". But in high school, I weighed 155 pounds. Golly, 6'4", 155 pounds. And you know what people are offended by fat jokes, right? Fat jokes are offensive. You don't do a fat joke. If somebody's overweight, you don't make a fat joke against them, right? But for some reason, skinny people are fair game. Exhibit A right there. You didn't giggle when I said that about fat people. But you giggled when I said it about skinny people. And I remember being 155 pounds in high school. And I would wear sweatpants under my pants and buy bigger pants so that I would look heavier. I know, it's hard not to laugh at that, right? But because people laughed at me and they made fun of me, I always felt inferior. I always felt less than. And if I could just put on the weight, then I'd be accepted. And if you'd have told me at 155 pounds that God's like, no, Brad, I love you just the way you are, I'd have been like, you're full of it because everybody's laughing at me and everybody thinks it's funny. I just find that interesting that we have, and all of us have something, right? Whether it's your hair that you don't like, it's your skin tone that you don't like, it's the size of your hands. I don't know what it is about. You know, it's like you got an innie or an outie. You don't know. You know, you're like, I don't like this about myself, right? How many of you have something about yourself that you, if you're honest, you don't like? Wow. Wait, keep it up. Look around the room. Look around the room. Okay, put your hands down. Wow. And what God says, so here's what the world says, you're less than. If you could fix that about yourself, then you'd be accepted, then you'd be validated. But God says, no, 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 I got you. And that imperfection you have, that's what makes you special. So it makes you who you are. And I love you just the way you are. Come on, would you encourage somebody next to you and just tell them, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. Paul says this, he says, contentment is tied directly to godliness. It's tied right in, like in other words, contentment isn't found when you finally have everything that you want. Because you know you're not going to ever have everything you want. Like I, most of you know, I have a pretty extensive vinyl record collection. I have over 700 records. Do you think that's enough? No. There's always room for one more. Ooh, that's amen to that. And if you by chance have Queen's News of the World, please meet me after service. I would love to speak with you. But contentment is found when I finally realize I have everything that I need in Christ. Can I get an amen from God's people? Amen. Once I figure that out, I will learn contentment. So Paul says this, he says the things of this world are temporal, but the things of Christ are eternal. Let's look back at the scripture. Let's go to Chapter 6, verse 7. 6, 7. Thank you, guys. Front row. Thank you. I needed that validation right there. I've been waiting to use a 6, 7 joke for a long time. When I saw that, I was like, bam, I got it. Let's look at verse 7. He says this. I just love this. Paul says, hey, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world. And what? Say it with me. We can't take anything with us. You can't take that iPhone. You can't take that Stanley. I can't take my record collection. We can't take it with us. Like, if you want to know if you're content with what you have, just try to purge. Try to get rid of some stuff. Like, it's easier to get rid of other people's stuff, isn't it? Like, you see stuff, people in your home, and you're like, why do they have this? They don't need that. What is this? Get rid of this. But then they start talking about your stuff. Yeah, so my niece, she's from the United States. And are we doing okay over here? What happened? I've been preaching for 25 years. I've never seen a mop in the service during my sermon. Give you just a second here to get all that. Who made that spill? Was that you, Mike? You made that spill? Okay. All right. We got it. Okay. Just never seen that in 25 years. That was amazing. But if you want to know what, if you're content, like just try to purge. So I was telling you about my niece. My niece, she's from the United States, but she lives in Amsterdam right now. And in Amsterdam, they're minimalist. We've been there. I mean, they have very small homes, small closets, small refrigerators. You literally can't hardly own anything. You know, it's fascinating. The Netherlands on the World Happiness Index, number 5. That should tell us something. So she's visiting here from the Netherlands, and she's staying in my record room. which is a man cave, basically. If you don't know what a man cave is, it's basically for every guy, you get your high school room back. That's what a man cave is. I'm telling you guys, like those of you that are dads, one day you're gonna get your high school room back. And it is amazing because you can put your posters back up. You can put if you go in my man cave, I got 700 albums. I've got hundreds of books. I've got all my radio stuff, my memorabilia from that. I've got sports memorabilia, a memorial to the Raiders right over here. I've got a candle that burns. So she's sleeping in this room, and she comes down, and she comes down for breakfast, and she just goes, "Wow, Uncle Brad, you got a whole lot going on up there." Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:19, "Don't store up treasures here on earth. Don't store up treasures here on earth." In other words, choose contentment over consumption. He says this, say it with me. Store your treasures in heaven. Store your treasures in heaven. The only treasure that God is gathering is people. That's the only treasure that he's storing up in heaven. Like God is not doing any Black Friday shopping, no Cyber Monday. He's not trying to find a new pair of Air Force Ones. I mean, it's not what God is doing. God's greatest treasure is his children. You are his greatest treasure. Again, this is what we've got to get deep embedded inside of us. You have value and you have worth. You matter to God more than anything in all creation. You're his greatest treasure. And he's gathering that up for eternity. And he wants you to be there. He doesn't want you to live apart from him. And here's what I want you to know. When you give to Core Church, you're not giving to keep the lights on. That's not what this is about. No, when you give, you're giving so that the light of Christ can be given to those who need the hope, healing, peace, and purpose of Jesus. What you're doing is you're storing up treasures in heaven. We have a choice when it comes to our generosity and our giving. I can store up here on this earth, or I can give it away and store it up in heaven. You're storing it in the lives of men, women, and children. In men and women and children like those that are a part of Core Movement, our 85 churches in East Africa. When you give, it's going directly to help start churches so that hundreds, if not thousands now, are coming to know Jesus in South Sudanese refugee camps. This morning, gathering in underground churches. More and more underground churches are being started every single day. Our leaders there in East Africa that are working directly with Muslims are hoping to see 50,000 Muslims come to Christ in the next 10 years. That's what they're praying for. When you give financially, we send that money to Africa. It doesn't stay here. It goes to build churches. It goes for discipleship materials. It goes to help them to get the supplies and the various things that they need so that they can minister to those that are around them. But it's not just money that we send around the world. It stays right here in this room. When you give, you're giving to the person sitting right next to you. That's literally, you're literally taking money out of your pocket and you're putting it in the hands of somebody sitting right next to you. Go ahead and do that right now, if you would. No, okay, you don't have to do that. This year, We will invest around $2,000 in your personal discipleship. $2,000. So if you're married, that's $4,000. If you have a family of four, that means we'll invest $8,000 in your family. Can you just, listen, I don't think we do this. I don't know if we've ever done this. Would you just seriously turn to somebody and just say, thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. Listen, because the person next to you is giving, you are growing in your relationship with Jesus. You are being discipled. And it's not just happening in this room. It's also happening in our kids' ministry. When you give, you're giving for the next generation. Colby and Mia Neal sent me a video of their daughter, Paisley. If you don't know Paisley, man, you don't know cute, because she's like the cutest girl I've ever seen in my life. She's so cute. And that's grandma right there. I said, amen. But they sent me a video because when in our kids' ministry, they teach them just some of the simplistic songs when they're really, really little. And one got a hold of her. This is her singing one of the songs from our kids' ministry. That is storing treasures in heaven. I don't know, buy a throw pillow or store up treasures in heaven. I don't know, get another streaming service or store up treasures in heaven. Get the car payment I really can't afford or store treasures that are eternal. We've been having record baptisms. It's been amazing these last couple years to see what God has been doing. Yeah, we can, come on everybody, we can thank God for that. I'm just wondering, if you have been baptized in this church at any time, I mean, in the whole history of this church, if this is the place that you were baptized, would you stand? I just want to know who you are. Would you stand? Keep stay standing. Wow. Ooh, that's not what I thought, Eric. Wow. This is treasures in heaven. Like this is treasures. This is why we're here. You can be seated. Man, that's, wow. It's why we're here. We're here so that God's precious treasure can be brought to his feet. Here in a couple of weeks, we're gonna be taking our Christmas harvest offering. We're calling it a harvest offering because our word for 2025, wasn't expecting it to have that kind of, see y'all stand. It's pretty powerful, pretty amazing. So we're going to be doing our Christmas harvest offering. And our word for the year is harvest, if you're new to our gathering. This word harvest is about bringing in the harvest of souls. That's what, when the harvest is mentioned in Scripture, it's talking about the souls. It's talking about the treasures that are stored up in heaven. And our this year we're saying everyone reach one. Every one of us can reach one, right? We can reach just one person for the glory of God. And so in this offering, we're asking you if you will give so that we can bring in the harvest. It's weird. I don't want to put a price tag on the harvest, but I want to. But we do invest in those who are not yet here. So we don't just put money that goes around the world. We don't just put money that goes into this room for our own. Like, imagine if all the money was just for us. Just for us. How selfish would that be? That would be so selfish of us. It's not. We take a lot of what you give and we pour it out into our world to reach those who are not yet here. And we spend approximately $50 on every first-time guest. So when a new person walks through our door, we will have invested $50 so that they could walk through this door. And so as we approach this offering here in a couple weeks, I just want to ask you to prayerfully consider, what does God want you to give? I think everyone can reach one. I mean, every one of us could give $50, even if it stretches you, $50, $50. This is above and beyond what you would normally give. But man, Brad, I can reach one. Maybe you can give 50. Maybe for some of you, though, you're like, you know what? I can give more than 50. Maybe you can give 200, and you'd help us to reach a family. How amazing would that be to know that you're investing in a family that's going to walk through the doors of this church? Some of you, 200, you're like, I can cover that easily. Maybe God wants to stretch you, and you could give 1,000. You give 1,000 in that offering, you're going to help us to reach like an entire neighborhood. I mean, together, we're going to reach the souls of this community and store up some treasures in heaven. Amen? Amen. This is who we are. It's what we're going to do. So Paul says this: you came into this world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. But you don't have to live for nothing. You can live for what's eternal. So here's the question I want us to rest in as we close. Am I living for what will fade? Or what will last forever? Maybe another way to say that is, am I giving? Am I giving for what will fade or what will last forever? The world says, get more. God says, give more. The world says, you need to hold on to it. God says, pour it out. I want to encourage us today as a church, choose contentment in Christ instead of the consumption of this world. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.